Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and meant for July 24th, 2022. What I'd like to do is finish up a little bit from yesterday's podcast about what is life and what is the meaning of it, yada, yada, yada. We tend to take kind of a cavalier attitude, as it were, about life in general. And when people ask me what is life, it is an experience of the depth of ourselves. It's a conglomeration of my past life experiences, my karma, all put together in a neat little package that made me have rendezvous, as it were, like with my mother and father, Ed and Jean, and all the people that I met in my life. Ed and Jean got together, had intercourse, made my body, yada, yada, yada. I came into this world, you could say, involuntarily or voluntarily or with mixed, shall we say, kind of experience. I don't know. I remember my earliest memories were, oh my God, where am I and what's happened to me, that kind of thing. But other than that, it happens as it happens, because we're in a flow from source. We're in a kind of a movement, a dance that brings us into this life experience for the sake of our clarity, for the sake of this is where you find yourself as a soul, as a being. Don't have a soul yet. People who come here have not attained to the soul. They have a periphery thing going on the side, but basically we live soulless, and we do not look at our soul as being anything that's very important or can establish any kind of meaningful gravitas in this life. So we live apart from our soul, very much ensconced in our body. So what is our life? Our life is all of the things I mentioned, our past life, our karma, how that passes through my genetic nature, how I live with my DNA in this body, and whether or not I choose to live as a body, as a somebody, or whether or not I choose to live as a spiritual being, attaining to the aspirations, shall we say, of recognizing the soul and merging into it. That means jettisoning the human body and all of its temptations, mischief, and impulses. And most people just are not much interested in any of that. They just want to either do what they're going to do and get through this world and fade to black, nihilism, you know, which is very, very popular in our life and in our world these days. We have no sense of the ineffable, the part of us that is too great, shall we say, for words, the part of us that is so beautiful. And we live in a maniacal kind of existence where we are just trying to survive at all costs and get whatever it is we want, when we want, as we want it. So all of that is my answer for Harrigan, who wrote me in that same venue, talking about what is the meaning of life and why are we here and what is life. Life, you know, you and I make up our life. Life isn't doing anything to us. Life is existing as a basic state of principle. And whether or not I catch on to that principle, whether or not I realize the state of that principle and how it works, whether or not I am aware of my karma, aware of, shall we say, my past lives in any way, shape, or form, whether or not I choose in this lifetime to mature spiritually rather than just kind of go through the the accoutrement, shall we say, of the human body and gather my information and my meaning from the human body is up to me. Life has no particular design at all. And I know everybody wants to think that there is a man in the moon here or man in the sky or in the ethers or some kind of God that dictates our fate, but that's just really not true. I could tell you, sure, that's it, but it wouldn't be true. But it would be something that most people could accept and believe in because they need, as one of my colleagues used to say many, many years ago, Ernest Wilson, who I dearly loved, people need a God with skin on. And I'm afraid that's very true with most of us. We need a God with skin on. And so we make God in the image of our likeness. And we don't really understand that this life we are in, this form of life we are in, is a tremendous opportunity for love, for some kind of, shall we say, progression, maturity into the soul, which we have absolutely no regard for or do not consider to be actually real at all. Most people do not sit down with themselves when they have a decision to make, or they live in a certain kind of moment where it's either the soul or the body, and 9 times out of 10 probably that most people will choose the body over the soul. Think of how many decisions you have made in your life that pertain to what you want to have, what you want to get, what you think is quote-unquote worldly good for you compared to that which would be transcendence, where you would go beyond the world and into the heart of love. Just think of that. Just that much. And you will, so to speak, understand a little bit more about the meaning and the existence of life that occupies you day in and day out. It's all an illusion, and we are deluded. Okay, let's go on to the other questions. Here again, I hope that helped you. I promised that I would say something about this in this broadcast, so there you are. Let's go to the next one. It is from Lewis. And he says he lives in Louisiana. Lewis from Louisiana. Interesting. Okay, he wants to know, how should one use the mind if not to think? And then he talks about radio programs that he's heard me talk about the mind and that it's not about thinking. We have a cognitive mind, we have a subconscious mind, and we have what we think of as the conscious mind. And all of these things put together become kind of a collage that camouflages everything that the mind is and how it works. We use our human mind to live through this lifetime and bring about assumption and presumption, which typically become the conclusions of everything that we think, say, and do in this world. So we use mind as a way to function in the world, to create persona, personality, ego, vanity, pride, thinking that we're all doing the best that we can do and that the best we can do is governed by the kind of thoughts we have. And with that being said, no one questions the perimeters. I have yet to have a student ever in my life look at me and say, "What is beyond my mind? What is it in this lifetime that is beyond my thoughts? What is the inevitable, that those things that are greater than my mind that I can't think, but I could experience?" Never have I ever had someone say that to me, but that is the essence of it all. And that's something that just goes beyond the pedestrian mentality that is constantly thinking in terms of what I can get, how will I survive, and do people like me? That's about as far as most people go. They don't go any deeper. So let's take a profound look at this. What is beyond the mind? The mind, your human mind, wants to come to conclusions through assumption. And that's all it's really about, conclusions through assumption. And the assumption is in how one purports their thinking and how they go about the kind of thoughts they can have. When I was a little boy, I used to sit, I'll be honest with you, and worry about the thoughts that I had. I would see how other kids had thoughts, but they weren't the same as mine. And I wondered always, how do they have the thoughts they have? And I can't think those thoughts. They were unnatural to me. They didn't seem relevant to the old Gregory here. And so you have to maybe ask that question of yourself for the sake of just maybe exploring a little bit beyond your thoughts. What is it that are the thoughts I can have? And how come I can only have these thoughts? I can't have the thoughts of a Rembrandt or a genius of some sort, a Buddha, maybe a Jesus, a Lhotse. Why? They were men without thought. They didn't sit down and write out their thoughts at all. Lhotse was forced to by one of his students who insisted that he do this before he went into the mountains. And we don't know what happened after that. We just don't know. But we never saw him again. That's a simple fact. And I can understand why. Why do you have the thoughts you have? What is your mind? It is the makeup of so many attributes in the human brain. And a lot of it has to do with what the body purports to us, survival, and it dictates the idea of violence, and that's why and how we survive. So when you ask the question about why there is violence in your email, Luis, and why the people are the way they are and hurting each other, it is purely because, especially in this age of the Kali Yuga, we have drawn into this world the perfect storm for bringing about great pain and sorrow in people's lives. This is not a world of nirvana. This is a world of reconciliation with our mind and how we live in our thoughts and what our thoughts are and what constitutes a thought. And is there any kindness in it? Is there any generosity in it? What are these thoughts that we have? They are far from ineffable, I can tell you that. They are there in us as a way to survive, and they create nihilism in a person, absolutism. And we become so harnessed in these thoughts that we think they're us. We think they belong to us, that we are logical and reasonable and all of that other stuff. But really what they are is just a part of our biology that has been passed down to us. The mental acuity of Gregory is based on his, biology. And if he's in that biology and he lives in that biology, he'll only be able to think the thoughts that his biological system allows. Read Sapolsky. Behave. Read the book. Read the book. You'll start to understand so many things about why your mind operates and functions the way it does. And as long as I continue to function out of my mind, out of the genetic dispositions of my thinking, I will never mature into love, nor will I ever have any chance of authentic change and, shall we say, transformation. I hope that helps you, Luis. And thank you for your sweet email. I was very touched and moved by it. Forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's it for this weekend. I hope any of this or all of it helped you. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to pose to me, I would love to hear from you. My email is greg at aspire.com. aspireasp.org. That's Greg at Aspire, aspire.org, O-R-G. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.